question. You're listening to Dynamo's Dozen. With your host, Ian the Dynamo Kelly. Welcome to Dynamo's Dozen, the podcast that I bring you each and every single week, where I will talk about whatever may be on my mind, from pro wrestling, sports, entertainment, music, movies, muesli, fresh socks and jocks, and everything in between, never forgetting the talc. This is Dynamo's Dozen. So you are very welcome to Dynamo's Dozen. I am here with Greg Kelly Flanagan and Ted Irving. Ted has been on the show on many occasions, but on this particular show we're going to have some fun because I've got the two boys to compile a list of their personal top 30 wrestlers of all time. Didn't have to be whether they thought it may have been, the actual best 30 of all time or their personal favourite. So I've left it up to the two guys. They can kind of explain their list and they'll explain kind of why they picked the certain guy or girl. And we'll have a little bit of banter with it. So I am going to welcome Greg, firstly, to the show. And Ted, my right-hand man, how are you? How are you guys? You as well?
Not bad, bud. Not bad. And you?
Good. Cannot complain. Cannot complain.
Yeah, not bad.
Ted, anyway.
Ted, yeah, so you've made a bit of a list there. You have checked it twice. You've probably picked lots of people
about 10 times at that.
yeah, I've seen you've done a couple of alterations to it. So I guess the best way to kind of set the rules and the formats for this, because it's not a game as such, but I guess the best way to have a bit of order would be to rather than one guy giving his list and then the next guy giving his list, we'll just do it number by number, And
that's what I was thinking earlier. Yeah. It might have been the best way to do it.
Yeah. So we'll flip. Unless you two are gentlemen, who wants to go first?
I don't really mind.
I'll let Greg go first. It's his first time on the show.
It is your first time, Greg, on the show. So, as I said, welcome to the show.
I got a bit of a cheeky call out off you a couple of weeks ago for you forgetting the talc.
You did, yeah, you did. I always, every time I do forget the talc now, I make sure to mention it later in the show. So, and I had a couple of segues on talc last week. You heard my little talc analogy on the Tesco brand and the Johnson's brand, so...
That was a good one.
Sometimes
doesn't have to be Johnson's.
Doesn't have to be. It can be within your budget, but
Johnson's isn't that bad.
If anyone's looking,
with the kids now, it's Johnson's everywhere in my house.
Well, if anyone is looking to upmarket, there's many different types of scented talc that people can go for these days. So we'll leave the talc there. Listen, Greg, let's start with you then. I suppose we will count down from 30, because that's the most exciting way of doing it.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you guys wanted to give a little bit of a backstory as to why you picked that person. It doesn't have to be a long-winded thing. Just kind of give just a rough idea of why you think they deserve to be in your top 30. But I guess, just to give a bit of a background, Greg, on your list, did you go for people that you believe deserve to be in the top 30 or just your personal favourite top 30?
It's a little bit of both. There's one or two that I would have already seen videos of because it would have been a while back.
Okay.
And then there's some new ones in there as well.
Okay.
And then there's some that are in positions that a lot of people might find a bit strange, but it was hard for me to put them in front of some of their personal preferences. Most of it's personal bias on where they go, but sure. That's the joys of having your own opinion, I suppose.
Well, that's it. Listen, this is kind of a unique and fun podcast because it's just three bray lads just having a crack, talking about wrestling.
This actually wrecked my head trying to make this list for about 4 days. That was even before I knew I got picked, to be honest.
I thought you were going to say being from Bray wrecked your head. Like,
I think I must have spent about 6 hours or more trying to figure out who's going where. Over the lunch breaks and work and whatnot.
Well, you've already put more time into most top podcasters put into their podcast, so there you go. Well done.
Yeah. So important.
So who's number 30?
So I went with Bruno Sammartino.
Okay.
Someone that I've seen more so videos, but I'd heard the title reign, two title reigns of what, 4,000 days or something.
Mm-hmm.
He done a lot. It was He seemed to do a lot for wrestling back in, I think it was the 60s.
He got into the Hall of Fame
last year? No, 2 years ago.
Yeah, okay.
Back to watch a lot of videos. It was something else for a kind of small, pudgy, big guy. Well, by small.
Yeah, well.
6'1".
Yeah, in comparison to the other.
In comparison to a lot of guys, he was born in the early 30s. He was one of those guys. I mean, you were looking at, he was probably about 5'10 in and around, but he was close to the 300-pound mark, so he was a humongous man. He was 265. Yeah. He was 265, so he was a big guy.
6'5".
He was 265. That was his working weight, like, so. You know, give or take 15 pounds off it, still 250 pounds for a guy who was, if he's billed at 5'10", he was probably about 5'8", so he's a big man, like, you know.
He was small compared to some of the lads, really.
Yeah, but I mean, he was one of the longest. He was one of the longest.
Going back to watch some of the videos now, it was impressive to watch for the time.
Okay, so you've gone for Bruno Sammartino. Okay, so he's and in fairness is kind of WWE days would have been, like, I suppose from the early 60s up until, you know, the late 70s, and then he went all the way through then with a second run up until the late 70s. So he was best part of 20.
Yeah, it was 75, I think he went, wasn't it?
77 was the end of his last reign. So he was best part of 20 years he was there. So that's a good shout for number 30.
He held two reigns over 4,000 days or something between the two of them.
Yeah,
2,803 days in one reign.
Yeah, 11 years on his first 11 years in the
show. Just ridiculous, isn't it?
Crazy. What about you, Ted? Number 30. And actually, before we say number 30, what about your kind of your list? Do you want to give a bit of a idea on what the backstory on your list is and what your thoughts behind it were?
Yeah. So I tried to remain as kind of unbiased as I could in it by, like, not putting just my personal favourites as number 1, 2 and all that. But at the end of the day, you're always going to get caught with a bit of personal bias when you're compiling a list of numbers. Like, unless you do it based on a very specific criteria. Like, if you said to me, pick your top 30 based on title reigns, there's no bias there. I can't pick who has the most amount of title reigns, you know? So there is a bit of personal bias.
Okay.
But I did try to keep it as...
You tried to balance it. You tried to balance it out.
I tried to be as impartial as I could, considering it is my own opinion on putting people into the list.
Sure. And opinions don't mean much nowadays, Ted, as you know, so...
Yeah. So,
so go ahead.
What I put in 30 is... there's definitely a bit of personal bias in this one.
Oh, we're starting already.
But I put in Finn Balor.
Oh, okay.
Here. Not just as his WWE, but that's just what he'll be best known as, but also his stuff as Prince. Yeah, his stuff in New Japan as Prince Deva.
Okay.
A lot of people would question, you know, like, he's still active, so should he be in a top 30 or anything like that?
Yeah.
For me, what I'd kind of been debating about who'd go there, and what kind of pushed him over the edge for me was I thought about what he's done in professional wrestling.
Okay.
So if you work backwards from Sully, currently he's Intercontinental Champion. He was the first Universal Champion.
Yeah.
You know, but then when you go back and you bring him to New Japan, he's one of the few, very few people that's won Best of the Super Juniors twice. And while he was there, he started what is probably the most popular faction in all of wrestling. And it's still going today. Like, when he started it, it's, you know, it's had its changes, it's had different people in it. But the Bullet Club was his baby.
Yeah.
And that's still one of the biggest factions today. So much so that, you know, guys like Cody Rhodes, the Young Bucks, like, they all used it to propel themselves. Well, maybe not Cody, but the Young Bucks definitely.
Kenny Omega.
Yeah. They used that platform to elevate themselves up in New Japan. Well, and that was great.
Well, if I might be bold enough to, I suppose, play judge on it, if that's what you would say. I mean, I think Finn Balor's as good as, obviously, you know, people that know my history are going to say I'm biased too, but I think Finn Balor's a good shout, and I'll tell you why, because take away the Finn Balor name, and yes, you slash it with Finn Balor slash Prince Devitt. He's done as much in Japan as, say, the likes of British Bulldogs and all done back in the day, and they're considered legendary.
Yeah, he held the junior heavyweight title over there for a year, I believe it was.
Yeah,
possibly a bit longer.
He did. He held it on multiple times, and he's also obviously.
Yeah, but in one reign, I believe he held it over.
And then he's had
400 days. I could be wrong on that.
You could be. I'll find out now. But also going on what you were saying there, he also, you know, he had some kind of great main event matches for the New Japan heavyweight title as well.
Then obviously a bit of personal, like, for Irish people anyway, personally myself, but Irish people, between himself and Paul Tracy, they started up what is now Fight Factory, but was NWA Ireland at the time.
Jeez, I didn't know that fact. Thanks for that one.
So when you look at the likes of guys like Jordan Devlin and Becky Lynch, like, those are just two of the bigger examples. But without a guy like Fergal, Finn Balor, instead of whatever you want to call him, without him and Paul Tracy starting through all that, would you have these guys, these girls,
no,
killing it in the business, you know?
No.
So I, for me, yeah, there's definitely personal bias in putting him in there, but I feel he deserves to be there considering everything he's done.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you look at the Japan, like, just to give a list of the accolades, like, 3-time junior heavyweight champion, 6-time IWGP junior heavyweight tag team champion, with Minoru and Taguchi, and then obviously, as you mentioned, 2-time best of the super juniors winner. So, I mean, yeah, his accolades are up there with the best, and then obviously being the founding member of the Bullet Club, I think that's a really good number 30, Ted. Good show.
Yeah, I think it's a bit of a shock, but yeah, I felt he deserved it. It took me a while to get him in there because I was chopping and changing it, and it was kind of last night I was thinking on it, and I was like, no, he does deserve to be in there.
Well, there you go. As I said, just 3 Bray lads doing a podcast.
Yeah, no bias here, lad.
No bias here at all. Smell a Bray off this.
Yeah.
So we get down to number 29, and we're back to you, Greg. I almost feel like I'm doing what's that TV show? What's your nomination? And give me the reason for that nomination. Is it like Big Brother or something?
Yeah, I think Big Brother did it.
Is that the Big Brother? Oh yeah, you know when they get the guys in the house and they're like, okay, so give me your nomination, give me the reason for that nomination.
Oh no, do you know what? That's actually more like WWE and all did it before, Stone Cold and all run it.
God damn it.
Oh, fuck.
I don't know.
The weakest link.
Weakest link, yeah.
When you vote off the weakest link.
Yeah, you have to give a reason.
What happened? They got 5 questions wrong.
Okay. Yeah, they got one question wrong and I only got 8. So,
I actually feel like I'm going to have to pick a winner. I'm going to have to feel, because it's my show, I feel like I'm going to have to pick a winner at the end of this now.
Oh, Jesus.
The winner doesn't win it, and just, you know what I mean? You just know you've won. So, Greg, give me your number 29.
So, I went with the top bad guy that I could think of, which is the Iron Sheik.
Oh, my man. Sheiky baby.
Who was certainly a contested character, to say the least.
Yeah, he's someone, all right.
Yeah, for the time to be what he was doing was very contentious around America. As far as I know, he was receiving death threats and everything.
Oh, the Iron Sheik. Yeah, 100%.
I read somewhere as well that someone tried to stab him in an airport.
Well, he was actually there was attempted stabbings on the Sheik on multiple occasions. Basically, for anyone out there, if they ever wanted to just even check it out, I think if it's on Netflix, the Iron Sheik story is actually there for people to see. But when the Sheik came over from Iran, it was basically because Kafti, I think his name was. He was the top amateur wrestler. Takhti was his name. He was the top amateur wrestler in the world at the time. He was basically an Iranian Olympic wrestling champion. And he was killed, but he was killed by the Shah of Iran. And basically, Iron Sheik was the Shah of Iran's bodyguard. And he thought, if you can do that to Takhti, then you can do that to me as well. So he just decided, fuck this, I'm getting out of here and I'm going to the America to make a better life for himself. And
break your back and make you humble.
Well, that's exactly what it was. He certainly
made a better life for himself anyway.
He did. He went over in 72. I think it was around 72 or something anyway. It was the early 70s. And it was kind of around 83 and all that. He went and wrestled with Baron Gagne. And then within that year, went to WWE, became the champion. And obviously, that's the one that put Hulk Hogan on the map. So Iron Sheik is absolutely a great show. Greg, I like that.
It's another one that a cousin of mine when I was younger got me on to liking.
Yeah.
She used to show me videos and used to go over to the house, so it was certainly an entertaining one to watch. Didn't quite get the gimmicks back when I was a bit younger, but when I got a bit older I realised why he was so hotly hated.
yeah, absolutely. And like I say to young guys and girls nowadays that are getting into the wrestling business, don't be afraid of the heat. And Sheik certainly was not afraid of the heat. What about you, Ted? You're number 29.
Okay, so my number 29, I would have liked to place higher, but I felt I couldn't for certain reasons. Owen Hart.
Okay, good show.
Technically,
big fan, as you know.
Yeah, technically, excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Character wise, brilliant as well.
Yeah.
If this was just a personal list,
mm-hmm.
In my opinion, and I know a lot of people do disagree with this, but for me, between the two Harts, Owen and Brett, Owen was the better.
Mm. No, I can see that. A lot of people would consider Owen the better because he was definitely had more kind of flashier ability in the ring and was kind of
I think he was just more charismatic. He had a more natural charismatic
and he was a bit more I suppose formed.
Yeah.
I know that argument's been made. I think we've a third member on the phone here now, do we?
Sorry, I know a lot of people would disagree with Owen, in, like me saying that I think Owen is ahead of Brett because, you know, of Brett's accomplishments and stuff. And I do understand that people wouldn't agree with me, but for me, when I watched him, I always thought he was the better of the two. But I had to place him quite low down on the list because, unfortunately, did pass away quite early or quite young in his career.
Hmm.
And so we didn't get to see how good he could have been or how great he could have been. I can't place him higher on the list based on what could have been.
What could have been.
Okay, that's fair enough. That's fair enough. So, number 28. We're getting slowly now. Greg?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Hit me, yeah. No, I'm just saying hit me.
Oh, I've gone for the best underdog story I've seen in Daniel Bryan.
Okay. Oh yeah, nice.
And that's
one of the small men that proved that it could be done.
Wow, that's a really
pretty much.
There's not even much that needs to be said. There's not even that much that needs to be said really on that one. That's that story speaks for itself.
Yeah, the ultimate underdog, the injury that should have retired him to come back, and now he's back as champ was great to see.
That's the epitome.
He's killing it as champ at the moment as
I was just going to say, that's the epitome of fighting for your passion, you know?
Yeah.
That's the epitome of it. Whatever it is, your passion, it doesn't matter whether it's fucking tiddlywinks or ballet dancing. It's that's the epitome, in my opinion, of fighting for your dream and just not letting it go.
The speech he made when he was saying he was going, and then what was it? I think it was the other half of his that was telling him to keep fighting, and then he came back. And then I think he's gone through the medical precaution probably the best part of about 20 or 30 times to be told no, and then when they were saying he was coming back, it was all things. I think they had a lot of plans for him and just kind of rushed everything when he first came back, but he's certainly killing it now.
Yeah. If you listen to today's experts that are fucking social media users, they'll just say his injury was all a work. But I digress. Let's get to your number 28, Ted.
Yeah, so... Scott Hall.
Okay.
One of the, as far as I can remember, probably one of the original cool heels. So
sure,
the bad guy, but you still cheered him.
No, 100%. I mean, he was my generation, even as Razor Ramon, he was oozing machismo. So yeah, it's 100%.
Yeah, well, especially as Razor Ramon, you know, his whole catchphrase was, you need me to be the bad guy. And that, like, I loved that and stuff.
Yeah.
I just don't know if someone did that before him. You know, I could have been done back
maybe
in the bloody 50s or something, but I don't know about it. So to me, and then of course, the NWO, like, you can't, he was part of that.
Do you know who Scott Hall reminds me of, actually? Just you saying that, they're kind of almost like a Burt Reynolds back in the day. Do you know what I mean? That kind of rugged, you know, unclean kind of facial hair look, you know, the hair coming out of the chest. Real cool, calm and collected, but just cool. And as he used to say, oozing machismo, which was just purely fucking, I'm with you.
Do you know who I always kind of thought of him, like, similar to, you know, was Han Solo? Because he's not a nice guy. Definitely not.
Not even
in appearance, but he's not a nice guy. Like, Han Solo is, you know, a thief.
He's the anti-hero almost.
Bad guy.
Yeah, he's an anti-hero.
Yeah.
You had a bit of personal experience with him as well, Ted, didn't you?
We won't get into that.
Misunderstandings on his part. We won't get into Scott Hall the joy. Oh, we have a third member joining us.
Give that baby some bloody talk, will you?
We have a third member on the show. Oh. Hey, Finn.
Addison.
That's Addison. Finn's in bed.
Oh, Jesus. Finn's been
meant
good.
To be, anyway.
Finn's been the good.
Oh, he is. He seemed to have settled tonight, so.
Yeah. So, we get down to number 27. Greg, you're up again.
I've gone with one of my personal favourites in Booker T.
Nice show.
I know he's more of a WCW, but he done quite a bit.
That doesn't matter.
Probably one of my favorite rivalries with Austin that ended up with the fight in the supermarket.
Yeah,
it was one of my favorite segments. Yeah. It was just comic gold.
His stuff with Gold Dust as well. That was brilliant.
His stuff with everyone goes, I mean, at the end of the day, like, don't forget, this podcast, and I'm not just saying it, like, to blow my own trumpet, but it's international. Like, a lot of the listeners on this show are big-time old NWA Crockett fans listening down in Atlanta. So, I mean, you say, like, I know it's WCW. It's as much a WCW podcast as it is WWE podcast. So, that's a great show. Do you know what I mean? And what he did...
No, it was one of my personal favourites, and, of course... I don't think I must have tried it about a million times when I was growing up trying to do that spin around. It just never happened.
Unless you're Paddy Morrow, you can't, and you're white, you can't really get it. Paddy Morrow's the only white man that I can see that gets it.
I am very much white, but just couldn't do it.
Yeah,
you're not Paddy Morrow, anyway.
You did, no, that's what I was going to say.
I don't know who that is, so.
Yeah, well, you're definitely not him.
Shout out to Paddy. All right, so Ted, what's your number 28?
27 for me was Kane. I don't think a whole lot needs to be said as to why he makes a list.
It's Kane / Isaac Yankum, yeah?
Great big guy.
Yeah.
Great big guy.
One of the most underrated, in my opinion.
He was very underrated. I thought he should have had a couple of more title runs.
I agree.
I think there was some stuff in the later years that wasn't great, but definitely some of his earlier stuff was amazing.
It's funny because when you go back to to Glenn Jacobs, and watching when he first kind of came into the WWE doing the Isaac Yankum gimmick with Bret Hart, just as just another body. I've actually went back, funnily enough, only recently and watched that match again, and I was even watching how he moved in. He was always actually a really, really good hand in the ring, so.
I think he might have been fake Diesel as well.
He was.
He was fake.
He was.
I'm pretty sure he was fake Diesel.
100%. Yeah. Yeah. He was. He was. So that's a really good number 27. These are actually really good, lads. I'm liking this because you're thinking outside the box on this, and I'm liking it so far. So we get down to 26, Greg.
I've gone with the Superfly, Jimmy Snuka. I know it's a contentious bit of a murder charge in there, but one of the first real memories I have of him was the jump off the cage in Madison Square Garden.
Here's Greg bringing murder charges onto Dynamo's Dozen and all. I didn't know anything about any murder charge. What are you talking about?
I'm spreading the word here.
He's also one of the reasons Mick Foley got into pro wrestling, like one of the biggest ones.
Exactly.
Just saying.
Now, that was one of the very first memories I have of wrestling. Again, over in my cousin's in Tranquil.
Yeah.
I seen the jump off the cage.
Yeah.
And I kind of fell for her from there.
Yeah, I mean, Jimmy Snuka is one of those guys, again, kind of from my generation, but even like well before my generation, really. But someone that was still very, very active,
prominent
on the roster and prominent, exactly. But one of the guys that probably, if he didn't have the baggage that came with him, that most definitely would have had a WWE title run. Also,
I think so.
Also, the first ever ECW heavyweight champion. Little known fact.
So I think I heard you say that in the podcast last week or the week before.
Yeah, it's a fact. Yeah, when it was Eastern Championship Wrestling, he was indeed the first ever.
Yeah, that's right. You were trying to figure out which one it was, weren't you? You were trying to say you didn't think it was Extreme. You thought it was
Extreme anyway.
Yeah, it was Eastern Championship Wrestling. Yeah, exactly. So no, that's a really good show. 26 Jimmy Snuka. So Ted, can you compete with that one?
Yeah. For 26, I went with Edge.
Good show.
Nice.
Good show.
I think Edge is probably one of the few people to have done it so successfully as a tag team and then to have become equally, if not more successful, as a singles guy.
Definitely more successful as a singles guy, I think.
He definitely was, yeah.
I think so.
Like, I just love watching Edge and Christian as well, but watching Edge on his album was something else.
And he always had the best t-shirts as well, didn't he?
Yeah, the killer beauty. I get where people come from when they say he had a better singles career, but when I think of his tag team career, he was one of the few tag teams that put tag team wrestling like really high on the map during that time. Since then. So that's why I say I don't know which one he had a better career.
Yeah.
Because him, the Dudleys and
the Hardys, yeah.
Yeah.
But so multiple time heavyweight champion, multiple time tag team champ, couple of IC reigns in there.
Little bit of baggage with my Hardy in there.
Scraps. That was fine. He deserves to be in the my top 30 anyway. I don't know about everybody else.
Okay. Certainly. Well, that's pretty cool. So we're going to get down to number 25, and then we're going to take a little bit of a break, because I definitely think baby Greg needs a bit of a break.
No, she's all right.
So we're going to get to 25, and we'll take a little bit of a pause for the cause, give some sponsors a few shout-outs, and then we'll get back to it. So, Greg, what's your 25th on the list?
It's a man that's already been mentioned. It's Razor Ramon.
Okay, so
can you hear me?
I can, yeah.
Yeah, I went with Razor Ramon. Some of the stuff that he done, I know Ted had him in earlier. Some of the stuff that he done, especially some of the ladder matches with Shawn Michaels, was just unbelievable.
Yeah.
I think it was SummerSlam. Was it 96?
Yeah.
That ladder match was just phenomenal.
Even if anyone hasn't seen it, even his match with the 1-2-3 Kid, 1-2-3 Kid, 1-2-3 Kid, Sean Waltman, on Raw, it was one of the best kind of ways of putting a friend over, but also the way he acted, you know, to getting the pinfall, because it was obviously an upset, was just genius. Scott Hall is one of those guys.
That was an X-Pac, wasn't it?
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. He was 1-2-3 Kid then, but yeah, it would have been, X-Pac's what he's more known as.
It was one of those guys that very much so, like Jake the Snake, that really had a great mind for the wrestling business, and it kind of is apparent in the modern day when you listen to different people talking on podcasts. I mean, I've heard the likes of Eric Bischoff say it, I've heard Vince Russo say it, I've heard multiple people say that if he could be clean and sober and just, you know, get his head in the game, he really would have been a great mind and a great kind of producer of wrestling, but also just like really good at creative as well. So
I was reading somewhere that he might be going into the creative team in WWE.
Yeah.
Are
they bringing out a new brand of liquor or something? Or?
As an advisor.
What, are they bringing out a brand of liquor or something? Or?
No, that's what I was reading on one of the websites.
Oh, no. Scott's a good guy, in fairness. I know through... Obviously, Ricky Knight and Soraya, they've had dealings with Scott as well recently, and you know he's nothing but a total professional these days. So it's good to hear him kind of back on a good place. You know. So Ted, what about you? Number 25.
25 is for me the Dynamite Kid.
Well,
he, when you listen to a lot of people from kind of now talk about who they watched when they were younger and who they saw as an inspiration and stuff, Dynamite Kid seems to be a name that crops up a lot of the time.
So you obviously went and done a bit of research back yourself to watch, did you?
Oh yeah, I've watched back and watched some of his stuff in the past, yeah.
Sure.
The British Bulldogs were brilliant as well.
Yeah.
I know there was a lot of messy stuff with him later on in life and stuff like that, but
also a lot of lawyers as well, to be fair,
but none of that to me counts into like, that's his personal life, so I tried to keep it just to his wrestling career. And he accomplished a lot in that. Very popular in Japan, popular in the United States. And it seems a lot of people seem to have gotten into wrestling based on watching him. So, yeah, so I felt he deserved to be in there for that.
Okay, good. I like it. I mean, obviously, obviously, I don't need to add much.
Ivan Headbutt as well. So
yeah, I mean, yeah, he was definitely an originator. You talk about someone that was ahead of the game. It's definitely Dynamite Kid. So, good shout to put him in there. As number 25. Well, look, what we'll do is we'll take a little break and we'll come back and then we'll get back down to the rest of it because we've still got quite a few
to go.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll come back just after this.
Hey, if you're like me and you're a fan of your wrestling merch and your MMA merch and your boxing merch, there's only one place I go, and that is Wrestling Mania. That's right. Wrestling Mania is located at the top floor of Dublin St. Stephen's Green Shopping Centre. It's your one-stop shop for all your wrestling, MMA, and boxing needs. It's Ireland's only dedicated pro wrestling shop and carries all the latest wrestling, MMA, and boxing merch, including brands like WWE and UFC and Ring of Honor, and much, much more. And hey, if they don't have it in there, they can get it. If you don't see what you want and you know something that you do want, well, the guys in the shop can get it in for you. And get this, if you can't make it into the shop, they'll send it to you. That's right, they will actually deliver it to your house. So if you want your wrestling, MMA, or boxing hookup, go to Wrestling Mania, located once again at the top floor of Dublin St. Stephen's Green Shopping Centre. Go check them out on Facebook. So it's Wrestling Mania on Facebook. You'll be able to drop them a mail. Very responsive, very appreciative, and also very welcoming and accommodating. Wrestling Mania for all your wrestling, MMA, and boxing needs. Go right now.
Right, so we are back here for the next part of our top 30. We got down to number 24. So I think on this stage, we're going to run down to number 20, and then we'll just do a little bit of a recap on 20 to 24, and we'll just kind of have a little bit of a chinwag about what each of those guys or girls, whatever it may be, has done and why you picked them, okay?
Yeah, cool.
Perfect. So what I'm going to do is, Greg, I want you to give me your 24 down to 20, and then Ted, you can do the same, and then we'll just do a little bit of a recap on all of them.
Yeah.
So I've got Sergeant Slaughter.
Okay.
And then I put the Hardys in as one because you don't kind of get one without the other. But
so you're being a bit of a cheater, Jeff, there, huh?
It was more so Jeff than Matt, in my opinion. But
okay.
I have Dusty Rhodes and Jake the Snake.
Hardys, Dusty Rhodes, and who was number 20?
Jake the Snake.
So we finished on number 25, so we're going from 24, 23, 22, 21, and 20. So there's five. Should be five.
Sorry, yeah, and then Mr. Perfect.
So at number 24, you had the Hardys.
24. No, Sergeant Slaughter should have been 24.
Sorry, Sergeant Slaughter. Yeah. Then the Hardys.
Yeah. Then Dusty Rhodes.
Dusty Rhodes, yeah.
Jake the Snake.
Yeah.
And then Mr. Perfect.
I was literally about to say perfect, but
works. Good pun. Good play.
Good play. Ted?
Okay, so 24, Mr. Perfect.
Mr. Perfect, yeah. Oh, hang on 1 second. My pen has decided to stop working now. This is one of these nights where Chelsea are winning. Where Chelsea are winning and nothing else is working. Losing. Yeah. So Mr. Perfect, yeah.
Yeah. 23, Big Show.
Yeah.
Ooh.
22, AJ Styles.
Yeah.
21, Mil Máscaras.
Okay.
And 20, Kurt Angle.
Okay, so just going to recap there on First of all, Greg's was Sergeant Slaughter at 24. And at 23, then he had the Hardy Boys. At 22, he had Dusty Rhodes. At 21, he had Jake. And at 20, he had Mr. Perfect. So what was the thinking behind them, Greg?
Well, again, Sergeant Slaughter's a bit older than I am. But going back...
You like the heat seekers though, don't you? It's kind of like similar to what you said about the Iron Sheik. You like guys that can get the heat. Like.
Yeah. Well, his heat as the Iraqi sympathizer was probably just as bad, if not maybe a bit worse than the Sheik at times.
I think it was worse than the Sheik's. Yeah.
So didn't he get a pipe bomb mailed to his house by someone that was just out of the army or something? I was reading.
He did. Yeah.
Like that's just something else.
Yeah.
Obviously, so. he's been inducted into the Hall of Fame as well, which was probably well deserved for the countless nights of windows being broken in his house and whatnot.
Well, yeah. And then you went with the Hardy Boys as a team.
Well, it was more like what they did, but it was more so Jeff. Like, I know you said it a couple of weeks ago. I think everybody bar you must have tried the Swanton at some stage.
Oh, it's true. Yeah.
I've tried it many a time.
Didn't work, no?
Like, no, it did not. their matches, the TLC matches with Edge and Christian and the Dudley Boys were just unbelievable.
Yeah. No, I was a Matt fan myself, actually. But
I liked Matt more as a singles.
Yeah, me too.
Guy with Matt version one.
Yeah, me too.
Jeff had a couple of stellar matches as a single with the Undertaker as well. But like when they were with the Dudley Boys, and I think it was it WrestleMania when he flipped off the banner or the beam where you walk in through Bubba through the table.
Yeah.
25 feet, there was a SummerSlam. That was something else. Or the Edge spearing him from the top, but holding on to the belt.
Oh, it was incredible. The stuff they done.
They transformed sort of, I know high flying was big as well, but they kind of brought dangerous bumps to a new level.
Oh yeah.
Like it's just ridiculous some of the things that they took.
Okay.
And then you
went with Dusty Rhodes, Jake Roberts and Mr. Perfect.
Well, Dusty Rhodes is just kind of another look back and admire what he did throughout the years. Didn't really see too much of him as me growing up, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So just reading back to some of the stuff he did. I know he did a lot of work in the NXT as well. I think they have the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic now as well, don't they?
Yeah.
That's still going.
Yeah, that's still going. Yeah, every year.
That was it's some of the stuff that he just did for the business as well, rather than from what I'd seen of him. So like people have to bring the business forward as well. Like Vince is great, but he needed people to help him along the way.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Jake the Snake, well, obviously the snake being my favourite animal, kind of captured me there with that, bringing out live snakes. But I remember listening to him telling a story about remember the cobra bite with Macho Man?
I do.
When Macho Man was like, he came into him in the dressing room before, and he was like, has the snake been fixed? Or is this going to kill him? And he wouldn't believe him. And he made Jake get the snake out to bite him in the leg before he let him bite him.
Yeah.
And I was like, what even is that like to watch a cobra bite someone's arm? And the cobra didn't just nip him on the arm. He held on for a long time. Like,
no, I think I even heard Joe Rogan say that like Savage was just a badass for doing that. Like,
yeah, that was nasty. That was
like that's a real badass, you know.
That's a king cobra whose fangs are about 4 inches long. Like,
and then Savage asked him to do it again.
After?
Yeah, just for effect. Yeah.
jeez. No, but I know, like, I thought the story was funny that Savage came in and made him, let the cobra bite him in the leg. So he proved that there was no venom in it.
Well, Savage was a very paranoid man.
De-venomizing snakes is illegal now, but it wasn't back then.
No, and if you were going to use it in a wrestling show, I'd fucking highly condone that
I'd highly imagine it, yeah.
Yeah. So, Ted...
Or you'd have an antidote right on hand.
Well, that's for sure. Ted, your last five were Mr. Perfect, Big Show, AJ Styles, Mil Máscaras, and Kurt Angle.
Yeah, so Mr. Perfect, you know, I think everyone knows why Mr. Perfect's there.
Because he was perfect.
Yeah, he was perfect, like the cocky heel personified, really. You know, I'm fantastic at everything. Big Show, for people that didn't see him in WCW, maybe they didn't get to see some of the stuff this guy was capable of back then. But, like, people see AJ Styles, you know, a springboard onto the top rope. It's impressive then, but when you see a guy like Big Show's size doing that, it's more impressive, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
That's just...
He was also, I think he was probably the first big steal that Vince had from WCW at the time.
Yeah, he would have been. He would have been.
He was the first big one. AJ Styles, he's made it everywhere he's gone. TNA, pretty much... He was the main man there. He might not have been the champ all the time, but he was their homegrown talent, essentially. Then he went off to New Japan, killed it there, and he came to WWE, and people thought, oh, he won't make it there, you know. Vince won't let him, and, well, it doesn't matter if Vince let him or not, because he did. He killed it.
That that entrance at the Royal Rumble was something else. Number three.
Yeah, number three at the Royal. It's a shame they panned to Roman rather than just stuck on him, but... Yeah, people reacted the way you wanted them to. So, yeah. Mil Máscaras essentially brought Lucha Libre wrestling into the States, really.
Yeah.
He was the first kind of very famous person to come in and do it. And I think he's recognized as being the one to have brought it in.
Yeah.
And then Kurt Angle, again, made it in WWE, went off to TNA when he was still at the height of his popularity. And I know TNA didn't end up competing with WWE, really, but if they ever were going to, they needed a guy like this. And he went there, he put on killer matches there. And he's also just like, he's a personal favourite of mine, so.
Nothing wrong with that, nothing wrong with that. Yep. Kurt Angle, yeah, 100%. I mean, you know, within that last, I guess, five there, I'm picking out, on a personal level, I'm picking... Mr. Perfect, Dusty Rhodes, Jake Roberts, and Kurt Angle, and AJ, obviously, as five major influences on me, and not just like as a fan, but even in the ring, when I was in the ring, believe it or not, those guys all had an impact in some way, shape, or form, you know. So that was actually really good shout. So I guess we're gonna do the same. We're now going to go down from 19 to 14. So,
yeah,
Ted.
Greg's been first.
No, I'm going to give it to you this time. I'm going to give it to you this time.
All right, 19 to 14. So, 19, Jushin Thunder Liger.
Oh, like it. Yep.
18, Eddie Guerrero.
Yep.
17, Mick Foley.
Okay.
16, CM Punk.
Yeah.
And 15, Triple H.
Nice.
Okay, and yourself, Greg?
So, I went with Kane at 19.
So, Isaac Kane came in.
Pretty much. That was the best gimmick I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Or whatnot. I went with the Ultimate Warrior.
Good man.
At 18.
Love it.
I went with Randy Orton at 17.
Love it.
Went with Roddy Piper at 16.
My man. Yep.
And then I went with Mankind at 15.
So you've went... So, okay.
And then I went with Ric Flair at 14.
Okay.
Wait, did you want me to give you my number 14 as well, or?
Yeah, go ahead. I think that's the way it went, actually. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, okay, so 14 was Trish Stratus from me.
Oof, what a babe.
So, Greg, your number 14 was?
Ric Flair.
Flair, perfect. Okay, right, so I'm going to do the rundown there. So, Greg, you had Kane, Warrior, Orton, Piper, Mankind, and Flair. And Ted, yep. You had Liger, Eddie, Foley, Punk, Triple H, and Trish.
Yep.
Okay, I like that. Yeah, like some really good names called out there that I wasn't expecting to be in this list. So I'm going to pick out first. I'll go with Trish for you, Ted. I mean, it's a pretty obvious reason. Not the reason that all the perverts are listening to for.
there was me going to say she brought big assets to the company.
Well, she actually initially brought big assets to the company, but then actually fell in love with the wrestling business. Let's not forget, this was a glamour model who basically wanted the job that all the good-looking women in WWE had back then, and that was just to get... It was basically a plateau towards the Playboy Mansion and then towards maybe bigger and greater things, okay? However, Trish Stratus was a different one because she was a fitness model, but then actually fell in love with the art of pro wrestling and became really, really, really good at it.
So very Ted, quickly, apparently.
Yeah. So Ted, well, they put her in with a lot of girls, really good girls too, the likes of Jacqueline, the likes of... Luna.
Another machine.
Yeah, the likes of Luna was in there with her as well. So, I mean, these were girls that didn't like her because they looked at her as a, you know, just a plastic, you know, bimbo. But she wasn't. Very intelligent girl. So, Ted, I'm pretty sure I've kind of explained some of the reasons as to why you put her in there. But if you want to kind of, I suppose, you know, add to that.
Yeah. So, she placed quite high on the list. The reason for that is what she did for women's wrestling sort of in her time. As not in a bad way, but when you look back at pro wrestling in the 90s and early 2000s, women were there for the reason you said. They were there to look good. They didn't have to be good in the ring. They just had to look good.
Yeah.
And that changed. She was hired in on the basis of get in there, be a manageress, look good. That's it. That's what she was hired for. She put the work in, and she became, you know, extremely popular and proficient in the ring.
Yeah.
So she took some nasty bumps for a female as well, didn't she, with the Dudleys?
She did take some nasty bumps, but she was also her and Lita simultaneously.
Had some unbelievable game matches.
Yeah, they did, but they main evented a Raw, which now I suppose doesn't seem like that big a deal because we see it quite regularly, and they've had their own pay per view and stuff. But back then, that was unheard of. No women were main eventing Raw unless they were a valet of some sort.
For sure.
So she came in as just a fitness model, and that's all she was at the time. She was a fitness model, and she was hired primarily based on her looks, and she came in and she didn't rest on that. When you go back and watch that, the matches, you know, okay, maybe they're not as good as the women's matches now, but in comparison to what was the other women were doing at that time, her and Lita were, you know, they're putting on what was way better than was expected from them. So yeah, I think she was a big influence maybe on some of the women that came into wrestling after her to not just be a glamour model, not just be just there for her looks. I debated whether to put her, Trish, or Chyna in, but I think Chyna was different. I don't think Chyna did as much for women's wrestling as Trish did.
No.
I think Chyna did more for women in wrestling, or as much for women in wrestling, by, you know, oh, they can compete with the men and stuff. But for actual women's wrestling, I think Trish did a lot more.
She brought it forward, yeah.
I think it was kind of between her and Lita. And overall, I think Trish is just remembered better.
Well, the difference...
Not better, but just...
Well, coming from...
Coming from it, I suppose,
from the point of view where I'd be coming from like a technical standpoint, Trish actually learned the technique of wrestling, and she went out of her way to kind of actually better herself in being able to put together, you know, real wrestling matches and learning how to craft real wrestling maneuvers and holds and tell a story. And I think she was one of the first ones. Because, in fairness, I know there's a lot of Lita fans out there, but Lita was kind of known for just, you know, the couple of moves that she'd done and was kind of known for just having a look more than anything. But she kind of almost then followed, I guess, Trish's flow, maybe a little bit.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. Like, I was a big Lita fan, still am. Like, I still loved some of the stuff she did with the Hardys and stuff. But maybe it's just the way WWE promote them. Yeah, but I think Trish is just remembered in a more fond light, maybe.
Well, Trish was a better worker and a better wrestler for me. So, I like that. And I mean, looking at some of the other names, Greg, I saw you picked Warrior. I'm glad you picked Warrior. That was for obvious reasons. Orton, I mean, for me, one of the best of all time. Roddy Piper, I mean, again, you want to talk about someone that influenced me heavily. Roddy Piper is the guy. And then obviously Flair and Punk.
I tend to pick Punk.
I know that. I'm just mentioning in general.
Oh, right, yeah, sorry, yeah.
Yeah, for me, Punk got in just because wrestling had gotten a bit stale until he did his pipe bomb promo. And it really brought a lot of interest back to pro wrestling at the time.
Yeah.
When there was a bit of a lull and people were kind of a bit, oh, it's a bit boring, it's this. And this, that really, that was a spark. And, you know, people can dislike him and, oh, he walked out and he should have done this and he could have done that and all this sort of stuff. But at a time, he was the hottest property in professional wrestling.
Yeah. His match with Cena at that time, where he walked out with the title.
Money in the Bank,
next few weeks.
I think that's
next few weeks.
I think that's one of the few.
He had it in the freezer and everything, didn't he?
Yeah, I think that's one of the few 5 stars that Dave Meltzer has ever given to WWE.
I think he nearly had a stroke giving that out.
Now, don't get me wrong. Like, Dave Meltzer is just a fan as well. But you know, if 5 stars are hard to come by him, it is something to have got it.
They're not hard to come by.
The crowd that night was just phenomenal.
Yeah. Well, it was in Chicago, so they were always going to be electric.
Yeah.
Something else.
We'll give Greg the floor again for because I want the top 10 to be special. So, I want your number 13, your number 12, and your number 11, and then just give a brief explanation as to why you picked them guys.
I went with Kurt Angle at, was it 13?
Yeah.
Triple H at 11 and Edge, Triple H at 12 and Edge at 11. The, obviously Kurt Angle being what Kurt Angle is. I know he went and did a good bit in TNA, but like coming in, he done some great work with Austin. And whatnot. Was it Austin that threw his medals in the river, apparently?
It's funny, you picked Angle the weakest of the three, yet he's better than the three. I like it.
In wrestling terms, yeah, but some of the stuff that the lads have done, I know Angle went off and he was successful in TNA, but TNA wasn't overly as successful as everyone had hoped it would be. I know it spanned, what, 2 video games and 10, 12 years, was it?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
About that. But obviously going to Triple H then, like the man's pretty much running the company now. Done a great job with folks in NXT to get better and better. And some people might even say NXT is probably better than the main brand. Or at least it was a couple of years ago anyway.
That's where the term the game comes from, isn't it?
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
the like, and then there's the matches that him and Shawn Michaels had. The last man standing was it? I'm pretty sure it was Survivor Series. Was it the one where he hit Shawn Michaels in the back with the sledgehammer and they sold it off that he broke his back?
Was that a SummerSlam? That was a street fight, wasn't it? The SummerSlam one? That was Michaels' first.
I think SummerSlam
return.
Was the street fight, yeah.
Yeah, that was his
and
first
the
return.
Survivor Series was the last man standing.
Yeah, you're right, yeah.
Yeah, that was something else. And then, obviously, having had Daniel Bryan in it earlier, that triple threat with him in it at WrestleMania when Bryan went over was...
No, that he only had the singles match. He had the singles match with Bryan at WrestleMania.
Yeah, he had that. That was the first match of the show, yeah.
Probably one of the best singles matches, non-gimmicked, that Triple H has had, to be honest.
Well, the last...
Yeah, that's what it was, sorry, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I can think of two that he's had previously. One was with Bret and one was with Mankind, actually, and both on Raw, believe it or not. Anyone ever wants to check that out, check it out. He was obviously wrestling...
Speaking of Mankind, his whole rivalry with Mankind while he was Cactus Jack, all that. That was amazing.
I know I give Triple H a bit of a hard time sometimes in terms of you know, his non-gimmick matches, but in terms of gimmick matches, I know you've probably heard me mention it maybe last week or the week before, but like one of my favourite matches of all time was the street fight with him and Cactus Jack at the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, it was amazing.
That's actually one of my favourite promos. He's actually involved in probably two of my favourite promos, Triple H is. That one where Mankind comes out and he's talking, he's like, I don't think I can beat you in a street fight, but I know someone else who can, and he strips off into Cactus Jack.
Amazing.
Yeah, amazing.
That was brilliant. And then obviously the one with Randy Orton at WrestleMania, was it 20? When Orton punted McMahon in the head and then punted Stephanie and Shane.
Yeah.
And then Triple H goes to the house and they went from there. And then he came out then, the three lads, was it? Orton, DiBiase and Rhodes, and then out came McMahon, Shane, and then Triple H. That was.
It's funny. Some promo. It's funny now that, like, in that shuffle, and in the way like that, Orton is still, you know, prevalent in the product. It's gonna take Orton to retire for people to realize just how good Orton is and was, like, underrated on so many levels.
In a little bit of a spoiler for my list, Orton doesn't make it.
Yeah,
but it's for the reason you've said. He's still active.
Yeah.
And it, you know, I know I have a few active wrestlers, like people who are still young and active on it.
Well, it's your list.
But as I said, I tried to avoid that. And for me, Orton, when he's gone,
that's when
you'll really remember him. Like,
oh, Orton will be in my top 10 for sure. Without a shadow,
I think he'll be in a lot of people's once he's retired. Yeah,
because I and you know, Ted, from me talking about Orton as a fan, I'm definitely a fanboy of Orton, definitely. So Ted, give me your 13, 12, and 11.
Yeah. Okay. So 13, Rey Mysterio.
Ray. Okay.
Yeah, I think, you know, one, some of the stuff he did back in WCW, like, nice. People had not
phenomenal.
Seen that.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, people had not seen that stuff at all.
Do you mind if I interrupt and just mention a match there that people should watch if they've not already? The Halloween
Havoc. Guess it's him versus Eddie.
In Halloween Havoc, yeah, when he wore the purple. Yeah.
I knew that's what you were going to... Everyone, like, that's just... It's such a match to go to when you're talking about Rey Mysterio.
Yeah.
But
I must give that one a watch.
It's amazing, Greg.
Yeah,
you're gonna love it.
Yeah, you got.
I think I may have seen it before.
Concentrating. So if you haven't,
it's worth another watch.
Yeah, definitely.
Give it another watch. So
yeah,
what he did in WCW, then what he did in WWE, then he left for a while, and he's come back, and he's still as good as ever.
Yeah, he's great, man. Great.
I was delighted when he came back, to be honest.
He's a model employee as well, to be honest with you, by the sounds of it.
He never kind of just gave up, kicked up stink about not getting pushed.
Just went and done his own thing. Exactly, yeah.
Listen, this man did a match like with Eddie Guerrero where he pretended that the child wasn't his but was Eddie's. That man is dedicated to professional wrestling.
Yeah.
The, right? And even when they were even when they fed him to Brock Lesnar that time and he picked him up on the stretcher board and all.
Yeah. Consummate professional. So
it was something else.
Yeah, I love him.
Then obviously, you know, people watched him and just like he was beloved by all. 12, Dusty Rhodes. Greg kind of touched on that earlier. He was brought into WWE, given a gimmick that they assumed he would just fail with.
Well, let me tell you something, Daddy. Let me tell you something, Daddy. Second recognizable faith only to Muhammad Ali. That's right.
He got polka dots over. And then as good as Dusty was, promos and all that, I think his biggest, the thing he'll be remembered most for
is in wrestling. Sweet Zephyr.
Is NXT, what he did. Like, everyone that comes out of NXT that was there before he passed away, every one of them, every single one of them says that he was a major influence on them.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I haven't heard one person come out of NXT that didn't say Dusty was, like, the biggest help to me.
He was there there.
I think that's what he'll be remembered for probably the most when people think of him.
Okay.
And that's not a knock on his work or on his promos or anything. It's just, if you can have a legacy to be remembered as being that good at what you did when you were doing it and that good at helping the future guys get there, I don't think he'd want more than that. I think he'd be happy to be remembered for that.
And let's be honest, his two boys aren't half bad either. So he's done.
No, they aren't.
No, already.
So
that's the role.
So your number, the son of a plumber. Son of a plumber. What's number 11?
Number 11 is The Rock. The most electrifying man in sports entertainment.
Absolutely. He deserves to be in the... he's actually very low on your list.
I think when you hear the people that are in the top 10...
Okay.
You'll be like... It's hard to take one of them out to put him in.
Okay.
I struggled here.
Okay, well, I mean, you definitely don't need to give us your reasons for The Rock.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. It hurt me to put him that low as well. But when you think of the other people up there...
Listen, it's your list. It's your list, like I say. And you don't need to explain to people what The Rock is. For any of you people that have been living under a rock... Now, this is an actual pun, and no pun intended. Dwayne Johnson. Check him out. That's all I'll say.
Big guy.
Big guy. So listen, I guess we got to do it individually here now. We got to do it individually because we're down to the top 10. Greg and Ted, one after another, give me your top 10. Number 10, number 10.
Bret Hart.
You picked Bret Hart number 10. Okay, Ted.
Andre the Giant.
Whoa, that's two fucking absolute heavyweights going in there at number in the top 10. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Greg, you went first, so you picked Bret number 10. Obviously, for obvious reasons, he's obviously going to be in the top 10, so...
Man's a legend.
Yeah, just some of the...
I don't believe you're now a fan of his, Ian.
Yeah, you have a big hatred for him, Ian. We all know that.
Ah, sure. Everyone that knows me knows I'm not a fan. Yeah. But Greg, what would be some of your, I suppose, reasons as to have him in the top 10, matches wise or
watching anything he did with Shawn Michaels is just
poetry.
I don't even think you need to say anything.
Yeah, yeah.
The two boys, I know what happened in Montreal and whatnot. That kind of changed a bit of the face of wrestling as well. But the two boys were just, they might as well have been best friends when you see what they were doing in the ring.
I agree with that.
You don't need much more to say, really.
Well, I mean, there wasn't a better dance partner for Shawn Michaels and there wasn't a better dance partner for Bret. You know what I mean? They were just made to wrestle.
No. And wrestle each other.
Yeah, for sure.
Just be thankful they were kind of around at the same time.
And let's be thankful that they're buddies again. So just go.
Yeah, they buried the hatchet, didn't they?
Yeah, yeah. So Ted, Andre.
Yeah.
I don't think that needs much explanation, but I guess.
Yeah, you're going to give original, one. The original giant, the king of the battle royals. I mean, I think everyone's just lucky he wasn't in the Royal Rumble. He didn't lose them. He didn't lose over the top battle royals. So if you put him in the Royal Rumble, he was going to win every year. You know, that's why he wasn't allowed in them.
Yeah.
Permanently banned. Vince told him, you're not allowed in. And when he tried to go out, Vince was like, hey, told you, you're not allowed to enter. You're just going to win. Spoils it for everybody.
Well, I'm sure someone with smarter brain capacity than Vince, you know, from a working standpoint, actually said, no, Vince, because think about it, it'll make no sense if you put the joint in, because it's going to take all 30 minutes to get him over.
Yeah, no, he was just, not even just that, he was known as being, like, in the territory days. Yeah, in the territory days, I don't think he ever lost a battle, an over-the-top battle royale or anything.
Not one that he didn't want to, anyway.
No, I don't think he ever lost one. I think he was always booked to win them.
No, but that's what I'm saying. He wouldn't lose a battle royal that he didn't want to lose anyway, so.
Yeah, but I don't think anyone would want him to lose one anyway. But then he has, you know, the whole thing with Hogan, like, finally being slammed. And obviously, you know, unfortunately, due to his size and stuff like that, he had a lot of medical and health issues and unfortunately passed away quite young. But I think he left a big impression on such a large amount of people.
To this day.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard anyone say anything bad about him. So, yeah, top 10.
Yeah.
Spot for him,
I may,
for me, is a must.
Yeah, okay.
I may or may not have read somewhere that he holds the world record for alcohol consumption in one sitting as well.
Yeah, he was a beast.
And he consumed the most amount of pints.
It wasn't pints, it was buckets with that,
I'm pretty
lad.
Sure I read that somewhere.
Yeah, no, you did. He was able to
the pint
drink away.
Like a pint that looked like a shot in his hands.
Yeah,
for anybody that's listening to the show, by the way, Greg is not on drugs or on anything. There's just a delay on his thing. It seems to be an internet issue.
He's gone robot-y.
Living down here in the sticks.
Your voice has gone all slow, so you kind of sound like you're from
robot-y.
He sounds like he's from Newtown, Mount Kennedy at the moment.
He's a robot now. He is robot Greg.
Yeah.
Now, lads.
It sounds like he's in part of it.
That's better, Greg.
It sounds like he was part of Videodrome for a second there.
I think he's got it sorted now.
Did you like that one, Greg? Videodrome.
Right. Yeah. It's a good old movie, though.
It's a great movie. Great movie. So
that's a conversation for another day.
James Woods, we will get into that for sure. So number nine on mine
is Hogan.
Yeah, and number eight
is Eddie Guerrero.
Ooh, okay.
That's more personal preference. Going that way.
Don't have to explain that one. Yeah.
Hogan was just. You don't even have to say that, really, do you?
Hogan is.
I know he could be lower on the list, but some of the personal bias came into that one. But yeah, you know, he's probably one of the only people you don't need to introduce in the face of wrestling to anybody.
Yeah, absolutely. Still, probably, when you mention pro wrestling to a non-wrestling fan. Believe it or not, still in 2019. Yeah, exactly.
My dad doesn't watch wrestling, never really liked it, but if I ever asked him he was saying something about watching wrestling, he'd always say the same two or three people, and it'd be Andre the Giant, Hulk Hogan, and Giant Haystacks.
Oh, there you go. Giant Haystacks got a mention too. I like it.
Yeah, I think everyone, like, my dad's the same. He always seems to know who Joint Haystacks was. But
all the old lads know who Joint Haystacks was. I think they all assumed that he just had a big, giant fucking haystack. So
I don't know what it was, but they all
something along them lines, you know. Ted, give me your number nine and number eight.
So, number nine, John Cena. I don't think there needs to be much explanation. You know, he carried that company on his shoulders for a long time.
Probably one of the greatest of all time. Deserves to be up there as one of the greatest of all time, yeah.
Yeah, people kind of, you know, oh, he was this, he was that. And yeah, there was a time where, you know, people were kind of sick of him. But when we look back on him, yeah, there's no way that he doesn't make the top 10 for me. And number 8 is Bret Hart.
Okay.
Nice.
Okay.
Again, see, I think it's been discussed, the matches he had with Owen, like WrestleMania 10, unbelievable.
Wow.
Yeah.
Probably had the best cage match of all time as well with him and Owen.
Yeah, you discussed that the last time as well. Yeah. Like, there was no... If you didn't catch the other one, he was getting out of that cage. There was no, either if you don't catch me, I am getting out of this cage. Good luck to you.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm gone. Good luck. Good night. Good riddance.
Beautiful, beautiful stories. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and then obviously him and Sean, the Hart Foundation.
Would you agree with me?
It's a shame he screwed himself that time, but, you know, still makes it into the top 10.
Well, that's fine. You had to throw that in, didn't you?
Yeah, well, Brett screwed Brett, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Vince told you that, so you may as well.
Yeah,
may as well believe it.
The man passed me a brown envelope. I'll tell you what. I'll tell you anything he wants me to tell you.
I'd just like to say that Vince has not passed me a brown envelope.
I was going to say
if he wishes to pass me a brown envelope with a bit of dollar in it, I'll take it.
Well, in the words of the fucking legendary Teddy Long, I'll say holla, playa. And if Vince wants to throw me a little bit of something...
We haven't a tag team match, are we?
Well, if Vince wants to throw me something...
Someone going one-on-one with The Undertaker.
Yeah. If we need a tag team match here tonight just to get Ian and Ted involved in Vince's payroll, then I'll happily say Brett, screw it, Brett. Sorry, Brett.
Well, you screwed yourself.
No, I don't think I'd ever do that. But so we're down to number 7 and number 6. So why don't you, Ted, you go first this time. Give me your number 7 and number 6.
Okay, so number 7 was Sting.
Oh, my man.
Yeah, obviously massive in WCW as the scare, not the scarecrow, the crow Sting, which is the way I'll always remember him.
And Surfer Sting.
I know there was Surfer Sting, but I'll always remember him as the crow.
Yeah, of course.
That's the Sting to me, and that was always it. Obviously, for a long time, refused to sign with WWE.
A man of real morals, actually, to be
I
fair.
I assume for personal reasons. I don't know what they are.
No, they were personal reasons. It was just a loyalty thing. I mean, Sting was offered more money than he could have ever wanted to go to the WCW.
Went to TNA, stuck with them for a while. Obviously, matches with Ric Flair and the like. So, you know, I don't know. Don't need much of an explanation for him, and definitely don't need much of an explanation for the next guy, but The Undertaker.
Who's that?
The Undertaker.
Mean Mark Calloway. Sorry.
I think he was called the Dead Man at Starcast over the weekend, wasn't he?
He's the brother of Kane, if you remember Kane.
I'm just gonna go with Mean Mark Calloway, yeah.
Kane and then his other brother Abel. You never seen Abel.
Abel, yeah. Was Katie Vick anything to do with them, or?
No, he didn't know her.
Okay, fair enough.
But yeah, 6, Undertaker, WrestleMania streak, the matches he had, Raw and SmackDown, being known as the locker room leader, you know, I don't think
there's law.
Yeah, I don't think there needs to be much much explanation as to why he's there.
None needed, no.
Yeah.
Greg, 7 and 6.
Well, we got 7 for me is John Cena. We've went through him already. Seems to be the go-to guy for a long time.
Yeah.
I know he's done so much for the charities and whatnot as well, but I still loved him as the Doctor of Tuginomics.
I think we all did.
Hey, there's nobody that doesn't
people,
like that.
Hitting people with a bike lock.
You know it.
Yeah. And then at six I have Punk.
Punk. Whoa, Punk's very high up, yeah.
I think there's a bit of personal bias on that, Greg, is there?
Was that from his UFC record, or?
Well, I would have said his promos in the UFC were good.
they were. Actually, on a little bit of a segue for his thing, did you ever see when it was in one of his interviews for UFC, and it was a DC, Daniel Cormier, came to one of his interviews, and he was like, "Hey, man, is that number you gave me really Seth Rollins?"
Oh my god!
DC's a big wrestling fan as well.
I think that's why Greg. Let's be truthful. That's why Greg originally actually said no. I like Ian. It's just purely because he thought it was CM Punk's doppelganger. That's all.
That was up in Ted's house actually when I said that here when you had the sideboards.
It was. A few people said that and they were like, just do the move, and I was like, what move? They were like, to go to sleep, and they were like, no, the fucking crossed arms. I was like, all right. I was like,
yeah, no, I'm not gonna knee you. I'm not gonna knee in the face right now.
Knee you in the face just to do the move, like. Punk's legacy in the WWE, regardless of what way anybody wants to tarnish it, is up there with the best of them, because what he did in that short, not only in that short space of time, because it wasn't a short space of time, I suppose he had to fight tooth and nail to get where he got to.
Yeah, and some of his stuff on the indies was amazing as well.
Oh, well, look, and that's it. Like, you know, I was, you know, it's funny because I was never a huge fan of his outside of WWE indie stuff. I was just never a big fan of his work. But at the same time, what I really appreciated with Punk was just how he was able to stick it to the man, Neosis, you know? It was kind of he didn't stop, so he definitely deserves his place there. So we're
a little
down
bit
to
of personal
top.
Bias going down that low though.
Yeah, for you.
Definitely. One of my favorites.
So we're down to the top five. I'm sure there's going to be more bias on this one.
Nah, probably not.
Okay, well, what I'll do is I'll start at number five and let yous both go one after the other.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Greg.
So I went with The Undertaker.
Okay, Taker. Ted.
And Ric Flair for me.
Woo! All right.
Yeah.
Again, neither of them need mention, especially with talking about what they've done. So
we've gone through them as well. So
we get to the number four.
So I've gone with The Rock.
Rock, again, no explanation needed.
Yeah, for me, as much as it hurt me not to put him as number one, Shawn Michaels.
HBK.
No.
Okay. Yeah, there's just people who put more for the business than him.
Well, it's already blasphemous that he's below Flair. So you stick to your own list there, Greg. Who's number three?
I've got Austin.
Stone Cold.
Yeah.
Perfect.
So three on mine was Chris Jericho. The guy's done it all. Except with the Royal Rumble. But other than that, he's done it all.
Okay. Number two.
Is Jericho for me.
Whoa, Jesus, he's high up.
Well, what can you say? I literally have a list, and it has a little bit of an explanation between them all. I sent it into the group chat the other day, and Ted started that sentence off with, what a man, he's done it all, and that's exactly what I have wrote down on it.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, what else can he do? You know, he's been to every promotion.
But Ted, I'm really interested to hear your top two now. Who is number two?
So, there's definitely a personal bias on who went first and who went second here.
Okay.
Second, Hulk Hogan.
Whoa, I like it. Yeah.
There's definitely a personal bias as to why he's not number one, but, you know, he was the guy Vince trusted to take professional wrestling to the global phenomenon that it is, because it was the territories until Vince took it.
He's also the reason that you and pretty much most people are talking about pro wrestling right now. So
Oh yeah, well that's what I mean. Like if it wasn't for him, yeah. Vince's idea wouldn't have succeeded. So
Greg, who is your number one?
It's got to be Shawn Michaels. favorite of all time, baby.
Okay.
I think even if I hadn't sent it into the group chat, he probably would have got it.
Yeah, I would have.
If this was a list of who my favorites are and not who were the best of all time, Shawn would have topped mine. Mm-hmm. With Jericho second, but
you went for Stone Cold.
What people did for the business.
You're going to say Stone Cold.
No, but for what people did for the business, I couldn't push Shawn in first place. He didn't do more for pro wrestling than Hulk Hogan.
Number one,
the great Khali. Lads, everybody needs to understand what this man did for pro wrestling. No, it's not. It's Stone Cold.
He taught people how to get out of it.
No, Stone Cold obviously is going to be the number one up there. Did as much for professional wrestling as Hulk Hogan. Just he was, when I grew up, he was the guy, and Hogan was before that.
Yeah, Hogan was my era. Why don't you just say it, Ted? He's the older generation's era.
No, well, Hogan was still the top guy when I was growing up as well, just in WCW. And when I grew up, I didn't have WCW. I had SmackDown.
On a Saturday morning.
SmackDown, 11 a.m. Saturday morning, Sky Sports 1, every time. Never missed it. And then I'd watch Velocity and the other things on a Sunday when they came on. But Stone Cold was, you know, I was a WWF guy rather than a WCW guy. And Stone Cold was the
guy. Stone Cold.
Yeah, he was the guy. So as much as Hogan was big, Austin was as big for me. I know people might disagree with that in, you know, who did more for wrestling. But for me, Austin, number one for what he did for professional wrestling.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're not going to get many arguments from me because I'm pretty much, you know, I'm with all of those guys, you know, including Shawn Michaels. They're all, you know, I can't say kind of an ill word about any of them in terms of what they did in the ring. You know, Shawn Michaels deserves all the respect in the world, for both the first coming and the second coming. Everybody remembers, you know, we look at moments in wrestling. We look at the Hogan Warrior WrestleMania 6 match. There's moments in that match that you just remember, you know, the electricity of the crowd, the stare down, the pure energy of that feeling of watching something incredible. The pure feeling of listening to Greg Kelly Flanagan taking a piss while you're explaining this.
No, he's smashing plates. Yeah, hope that's not any plates in his house, because otherwise I'm never eating there again.
Didn't eat here the first time.
I've eaten in your house before.
But not there, Kelly, haven't.
Not in that one, but if that's how you're washing plates there, I doubt it's how you were doing any different before.
Exactly, and we're going to get off plates now because we've come to the end of the show. And lads, that was a pretty, really good list, actually. It's made me think as well, if I was to compile a list of what, you know, what I would have to think about, you know.
Don't do it. It's not worth the stress.
I did this all last night. So I didn't put anywhere near as much time into it as Greg, but I spent ages, like way more time. I must put like 3 hours into this. I don't know why I put 3 hours into this, but I put like 3 hours into this, and most of that was I had the names and I just couldn't figure out where to put them. And even now, as I look at it, some of them I'm still not happy about where people are on that list. I just gave up.
Well, you are quite meticulous. Like, Ted, what would you change if you had the chance to change?
I don't know. Like, every time I look at it, I'm like, oh, I'd move that person up and that person down. But then I'm like, nah, I wouldn't, though. I'd still want them there. And maybe I'll move this person. I eventually just had to give up because I was just like, nah, like, I have to go to work tomorrow. Go to bed.
Well, listen, we have come to the end of the show. Thank you guys for taking the time out. to
come
on and
sound for having us.
It's
a long old podcast, I think.
Yeah, but it's going to be good because it will kind of intrigue people as to you know what I do believe will happen here at the end of this podcast is it will start making the wheels in people's heads start turning and think, wow, what if I was to do a top 30, what would I have? Or, you know, so if anyone disagrees with any placements of any of
top 30s, I'd love feedback on where people think, oh, you should have had this. Like, I'll sit down and chat to people about this all day.
Yeah, because I mean, these are things that you can debate. But
also, Greg cheated by putting the Hardys in.
Yeah, he definitely
did. I did change it to Jeff in the end.
I was thinking, like, put a tag team in, and I was like, no, that's cheating. Because I was like, if we ever do a tag team list, then I'll do it. But there was no tag teams put into this.
Well, if you really wanted to be a dickhead and cheat, you could have put, like, you know, the Demolition in, but, like, 1992 version, so you had three.
I'll put the whole of DX in. There's, like, 30 of them.
Well, you see, that's a faction, but, like, as a tag team.
You could put the New Day in, lads. Let's be fair. The New Day have to go in. They're the longest reigning title holders.
If you were doing a tag team list, yeah, they'd probably make it in. But I suppose that's a... That's for Ian to do another podcast on.
Well, there you go. There
I think
go.
This podcast is going to be about 4 hours long, lads.
Well, look, we have reached the end. And like I said, thank you guys again. But like the old...
Yeah, always happy to come on, man.
Now that I know that I don't have to go out to your house really to do it, it'll be even easier.
Exactly. And like old Ian Kelly always says, Dynamo is over and out.